Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you're a little behind, you can swing over there and check out what went up there tomorrow. But of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. Well, we put together quite a bit of FanDuel stuff, actually, because I did a regular lineup, and then I just had to go through and do a Clayton Kershaw lineup, and Dan sent me his lineup. So here's what we came up with. The original lineup I did, I started with Jose Urania. He's pitching for the Marlins tonight against the Mets. He's $7,300. The reason I was leaning with him today is he's given up one run to the Mets in over, I think it's two starts that he's faced them. So I'm hoping that kind of continues. And it's always nice to have another option besides dropping, you know, $12,500 on Clayton Kershaw. So I went with Urania for $7,300. My catcher is JT Realmuto. Yeah, I know I did the thing where I paired up the pitcher and catcher. It actually just kind of happened today. I wasn't planning it. He's $2,900. He's hitting sixth for the Marlins tonight. First base, I'm going with Will Myers of the Padres. He's $3,600, hitting third for them tonight. Second base is Jonathan Scope. Of the Orioles. He cost me $3,200. He's hitting third for the Orioles tonight. You'll notice a theme here as I'm going down my lineup. Third base, Josh Donaldson of the Blue Jays. He's $3,900, and he's hitting third for the Blue Jays tonight. Shortstop, Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox. He's $3,600, and he's hitting third for the Red Sox tonight. My outfield, a couple Marlins to start it out with. I've got Giancarlo Stanton for $4,000. He hit second in their order, and then I paired him up with Christian Yelich, who cost me $3,400. He's hitting third in their lineup. And then my outfield wraps up with Matt Kemp of the Braves for $2,900, and he's hitting cleanup for the Braves. So I've got Urania pitching, Realmuto catching, Myers at first, Scope at second, Donaldson at third, Bogaerts at short, and then the outfield is Stanton, Yelich, and Kemp. So a heavy stock of Marlins for me today. I'm going to need them to hit Seth Lugo. Then I pieced together a Kershaw one just because I like to do it to see what I can come up with and figure out how to shuffle money around. $12,500 for Clayton tonight. He's taking on the Angels. So this lineup has Chris Jimenez of the Twins catching. He was $2,300. He's hitting eighth. Sticking with the Twins, Joe Mauer at first base. He's hitting third. He cost me $2,900. Second base is Jose Perella of the Padres. He's $2,800. He's leading off for them tonight. Third base, TJ Rivera of the Mets qualifies over there. He's hitting fifth for the Mets tonight. Only cost me $2,100. Shortstop is Dansby Swanson of the Braves. $2,500. He's hitting seventh for them tonight. I was able to save enough money in the infield to piece together what I think is a pretty solid outfield. I spent $3,300 on Curtis Granderson. He's leading off for the Mets. He's been really hot. $3,300 on Nick Markakis of the Braves. He's hitting third for them. And then Andrew Benintendi is my last outfielder of the Red Sox. He cost me $3,200 and he's hitting second for them. So my Kershaw lineup is obviously Kershaw pitching, Jimenez catching, Mauer at first, Perella at second, Rivera at third, Swanson at short, and the outfield is Granderson, Markakis, and Benintendi. So it's always always kind of it's always fun for me to kind of juggle stuff with Clayton and see what I can do. Give me a second. Let me open up Dan's lineup here, and we can tell you how Dan did. Dan went with Jeff Nelson. Is it Jeff Nelson of the Brewers? No, it's Jimmy Nelson.
Jimmy.
Jeff Nelson used to be a reliever for the Mariners. That's where I got that from. Jimmy Nelson of the Brewers for $8,700 is his pitch here. He's paying $2,500 for Christian Velasquez of the Red Sox as his catcher. He's hitting seventh. First base, he's going to go with Cody Bellinger. You can never argue going with Cody Bellinger. $4,100, the Dodgers lineup hasn't been announced yet, so we're waiting on that one. Jonathan Villar at second. He could be a good value coming back from injury. $2,600, he's leading off for the Brewers. Travis Shaw at third, obviously also of the Brewers. He's $3,800, he's hitting cleanup. Dan's going with another value guy here, Aiden Echeverria, who's a Tampa Bay Ray now. $2,100 at shortstop. And then his outfield, he's going with Giancarlo Stanton as well. So we just killed Stanton. So get him out of your lineup. Last time we both agreed on the same Marlin, he scored zero. That was Marcelo Ozuna earlier in the week. But yeah, Stanton's hitting second. I don't think I mentioned it. Echeverria's hitting seventh for the Rays. He's going with Jose Bautista for $3,900. He's in the leadoff spot for the Blue Jays. And then he rounds out his outfield with Yoenis Cespedes of the Mets hitting third for $3,300. So Dan's got Nelson of the Brewers, Vasquez of the Red Sox, Bellinger of the Dodgers, Villar of the Brewers, Shaw also of the Brewers, Echeverria of the Rays, and then Stanton, Bautista, and Cespedes in his outfield. Obviously a Marlin, a Blue Jay, and a Met. So there you go. There's where we're going tonight on FanDuel. Last night, Dan, I wasn't watching the score live, but I was watching what was going on in the games, obviously. And I really thought I hit on something with Ivan Nova. You know, I knew the Pirates had gotten out to a decent lead, and I knew he would pick up the win. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, he probably racked me up a decent number of points, allow me to compete, because you really need that big start to compete in FanDuel. Now, Dan, this is a pitcher who got a win last night. He scored me 18 points.
He gave up two runs,
which was negative six. You know, not terrible. He only went five innings. That was 15 points, because obviously it's 3 points an inning. He got the win, so he got 6 points there. One more inning, he could have got me a quality start, so I didn't get the points for that. In five innings, Dan, he had one strikeout. So that was three additional points for me. So, yeah, I picked the right pitcher. You know, I got what I wanted. I got the win. I thought for sure, you know, Nova pitched really well. He'd go six innings. Maybe I'd even get lucky and get seven out of him. He goes five, and he manages one frickin' strikeout. So, yeah, that just, you know, that buried my team. I ended up with 112.30 points. The only guy who really exploded for me yesterday was George Springer, went off for 43.6 points. So that was my excitement there. But yeah, I couldn't believe that when I saw it. I was like, oh yeah, cool. The Pirates won. I probably did okay then. You know, we'll see how it goes. I'll go in and check in the morning. I got there in the morning. I was like, okay, great. Let's see what he did. And I like, he had 18 freaking points. How's that even possible? So that was my joy there, was 18 points. Oh. So how did you – oh, no, you didn't do one yesterday. That's right. You were tied up with the doctor and all that. Everything went well. The doctor said you're okay.
Yeah, I got to lay off the Dr. Pepper, all the pizza, and all the good stuff.
Yeah, well, don't they all, actually, I shouldn't say that. My doctor hasn't told me that since I started seeing this new guy. So I'm pretty happy with this guy. He kind of lets me do whatever I want as long as my numbers come back good. So I'm okay there. So, but we do have, you know, obviously being Thursday, there always are a few afternoon games rolling on here. We have three finals in the books. The Indians beat the Rangers 5-1. Dan, I don't know if you got to see any of this being at work, but man, Corey Kluber was rolling. I think he ended up striking out 12 or 13, and I mean, he was just on. He got the win for the Indians. Andrew Cashner took the loss for the Rangers. The Tigers beat the Royals 7-3. Michael Fulmer also pitched very well today for the Tigers. He got the win there, and Jake Junis took the loss. And then the Astros picked up another win, 6-1 over the A's. Brad Peacock got the win, and Daniel Gossett took the loss. We do have a couple games rolling along. The Cardinals are on their way to beat the Diamondbacks, barring a huge comeback. They're up 10-3 in the top of the ninth. Lance Lynn made the start for St. Louis, and it was Patrick Corbin getting the start for Arizona. And then it's the top of the eighth in Washington. The Nationals are up 4-2 on the Cubs. I know I had it on in the other room while I was setting up a podcast, and somebody hit a home run to give the Nationals the lead. John Lester made the start for the Cubs, and Joe Ross for the Nationals. I don't believe either of those guys will figure in the decision. I think they're long gone. So we're all caught up, Dan. Sadly, you know, again, barring a comeback from the Cubs, it looks like they're on their way to another loss. Did you, and it was 12 for Corey Kluber. Did you get the opportunity to see any of that?
No, unfortunately.
I mean, just the highlights I picked up, luckily they showed quite a bit of them on the MLB Network when I was up a little earlier. Dude, he looked fantastic. I mean, you can tell why he's a Cy Young Award winner. And it was just like, wow. You know, I mean, luckily for me, I have him in one of our leagues. I don't remember which one. I was lucky enough to get him. So that's going to be a big plus for me. But, yeah, it was very, very impressive. You know, I know he's coming off the injury and stuff, and he looks like he's back to, you know, being a dominant starting pitcher, which is what Cleveland, you know, needs. You know, he's 7-2 now on the year, and he went 8 innings, which you and I talked about. We don't see a lot of that anymore. 3 hits, just the 1 run. It was earned. Walked 1 and did strike out 12, threw 111 pitches in 8 innings. So he was pretty, you know, managed his pitch count pretty well. So it was, you know, very, very impressive outing there. It was, you know, different to see. And, you know, even, like I said, again, even more happy for me by the fact that I will reap some of those benefits there on one of our Yahoo leagues. Again, I don't remember which one. I probably paid for him in the auction league, knowing me. So, you know, then how about this, Dan? I was telling you about Michael Fulmer. I didn't realize this. He was an out short of a complete game. Imagine if you're a fantasy owner, you know, like in our league, you know, we have a weekly running total. It's a weekly league. You know how hard it is to come by complete games. Imagine your guy missing it by a third of an inning. That could have won you the category. I mean, one complete game may win you a category. 8 2/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, but only 2 were earned, and he struck out 7. Justin Wilson had to come in to get the final out, and he struck the guy out. But, yeah, I didn't realize that until I opened it up. Oh, God, that's just right there. I can't even believe that. So, but I don't have Michael Fulmer, so I'm okay there. Do you have him in either league?
No, unfortunately.
I sent the guy who owns him in one of our leagues a trade offer when he was scuffling. I was hoping he was willing to give up on him, but he shot me down. So I was unable to complete the deal there. So we'll have to see. But then in sad news, Dan, I don't know if you saw this. The Braves designated Bartolo. He pitched horrible again last night. It just kind of looks like he's done. 44 years old. Does anybody take a look at him, do you think, as desperate as teams are for pitching? You know, you want the Cubs to bring him in as the number 5 guy?
Sure, why not?
So how funny would that be? Maybe he'd homer again in Wrigley Field. So, but yeah, obviously, you know, he had a very long career. You know, at one point was actually a really hard thrower, used to top out, you know, right at about 100 miles an hour. People seem to forget that once he kind of became the jolly fun bag that everybody used to might make fun of for the way he swung the bat. But a 20-year career, Dan, started in 97 with the Indians, spent 6 years there. I believe he signed, they traded him to the Expos in 2002 because I believe they were, I don't remember if they were worried about re-signing him or what went on there, but I remember, you know, obviously it was such a long time ago. You know, they shipped him off. He actually signed with the White Sox. He spent a year, you know, in Chicago with the White Sox. You know, it looks like, yeah, he pitched for Boston. You know, who are some of the other teams here on the list? Oakland, of course. That's where I think he got his first suspension. You know, a couple years with the Mets, the Expos. I don't know. Yeah, I think I mentioned that one. So, but yeah, I guess what I was kind of looking to ask you here, Dan, where is he on, you know, your Hall of Fame radar? You know, he is a Cy Young Award winner. His career record is very good. He's 235 and 170. You know, spending most of his time in the American League, his ERA is a little high. It's 4.02. But, you know, he's over 3,000 innings, 3,235. Where's his strikeout total? 2,407 strikeouts, 908 walks. So he didn't walk very many guys. He does have a 20-game, you know, winning season under his belt. Actually, he's got two of them. One was just a combined year between Cleveland and Montreal. You know, he's been a multiple time All-Star. You know, even going back so far as last year, 2016, he was an All-Star. He was 15-8 for the Mets last year. I don't know how many people remember that, as this kind of disappeared. Obviously scuffled, 2-8 with the Braves in 13 starts with an 8.14 ERA. You know, I don't know, Dan, where does he sneak in at some point in time?
Yeah, ERA over is pretty high.
Yeah, that's like the one drawback when you kind of look at his stats is he does have a, you know, really high ERA, but you know, the rest of his numbers are really good. So, you know, 36 career complete games, 13 of those were shutouts. You know, we're, you know, not gonna see numbers like that anymore from these guys. You know, yeah, I just, you know, he's got, what is it, 10 years to sit on the ballot if he gets enough, you know, enough votes to stay on. And obviously everybody likes him. You know, is he just one of these guys that oddly one day we look up and he sneaks in on the, you know, the back end of a ballot in a weak year?
I think it's highly likely. You know, like you said, 10 years. If he doesn't, maybe they'll
hire. Yeah, because, you know, obviously, you know, some years are stronger ballot years than others. So, you know, you just wonder, you know, if there's that chance out there that, you know, somebody goes, hey, you know, why, you know, got to vote for somebody. Let's vote for Bartolo. So, yeah, I just kind of wondered how that would, how that would work out. Could you imagine his acceptance speech? And which one of his families would, and would he invite both?
Oh, they don't know about each other now.
Yeah. You know, now that it's out in the open and stuff, I mean, would he just bring both of them?
Like I said, they don't know about each other, so why not?
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, oddly, not even trying to be funny. I mean, seriously, which family would you, you know, how do you work that out? Which family do you bring? You know, I mean, when you do stuff, how do you decide which one of your families? I mean, wait, I'm not supposed to say that. Never mind. Okay. So, but yeah, I mean, you kind of look back. Yeah, you know, you kind of look back, and I mean, he's had a, you know, he had a really, you know, really long, you know, relatively positive career. I mean, sadly, he's one of those guys where it's going to, you know, it looks like it's going to end badly because he was just horrible this year for Atlanta. I mean, it just didn't work out. So. But, yeah, now seriously, though, do you think maybe somebody signs him? You know, a contender maybe looking for depth at the end of the rotation, or even, you know, the middle relief guy, like we always kind of talk about, you know, Tim Lincecum was so big for the Giants that year. Yeah, or, you know, Francisco Rodriguez, who the Nationals are taking a look at. You know, I mean, he was another guy who didn't look like he had anything left, but, you know, when you need the guys, I guess you're willing to take the look, right?
Doesn't hurt.
So, yeah, and then I saw you, you posted it on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, but Tim Tebow homered.
Second day.
So now, you know, Dan, I don't know if you remember this one, but last year during the playoffs, the Orioles and the Blue Jays, do you remember the Yahoo who threw the beer at the Orioles outfielder, the guy who threw the can of beer?
No. I remember the guy who threw it at Philly's first baseman.
They sentenced him today. He got 2 hours of community service, and I guess maybe the bigger penalty, depending on what kind of fan he is. He was ordered to stay away from major league ballparks for 1 year. So the guy's name is Ken Pagan, or Pagan maybe. And he was conditionally discharged, so he won't have a criminal record as long as he completes his probation. Do you think that was fair enough for just a guy chucking a beer can on the field?
2 hours of community service.
200.
Oh. Yeah, I think that is sufficient.
So, you know, it seemed like a good number. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't need to see this guy go to jail or anything. He obviously just, he was stupid. So. But yeah, I had actually forgot all about it until I saw the verdict pop up. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I completely forgot he had done that. I think maybe because neither team really did a ton in the playoffs. But yeah, and then of course, you know, no surprise, he apologized to the Orioles and baseball and Hyunsoo Kim and anybody else who was willing to listen to his apology, I guess. So we can wrap that up, and hopefully he just service and there are no more problems.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that they even were certain here in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a little odd. Well, I believe it was Toronto. You know, yeah, I'm surprised. I don't remember. I'm trying to think the last, you know, I mean, I've been going, you know, obviously you go to more now than I did. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. When was the last time I saw a can at a baseball game?
Well, I mean, they eliminated bottles and cans like 15 years ago here in Chicago.
Yeah. You know, And I mean, obviously, you know, it makes really good sense. You know, you don't want, you know, the guys out there with, you know, especially with that stuff, you know, under their control. I mean, you know, it's bad enough they throw just about everything else that they can, you know, they can get their hands on. So, you know, you will have to hope he learned his lesson and he moves on from it, right? Did you learn your lesson? Do you throw stuff at the ballpark? Are you that guy?
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, no, neither am I. I've never been a, you know, one of those throw things type of person. You know, no matter what the event, it just, so I mean, I don't know, maybe I have too much respect for the game, or you know, I've maybe because I've never been to a playoff game, you know, maybe that's the you know, the problem. Maybe if I had a playoff game, I would be, you know, angry enough or trying to thinking I'm trying to help my team enough that I would, you know, I would go after it and be like, oh, hey, let me get that. So I don't know. I guess maybe it's just me. But all right, I got to ask you this, Dan, because I need to know if I should try this. You know, I've seen this a couple times in a couple different places today. You know, first I think it came up on Twitter, and then I saw it just online while I was kind of surfing around. And even just now it popped up on the Mickey Mouse website when I was surfing past there looking at another story. You know, obviously, you had some experience being a personal trainer. Russell Wilson is on a 4,800-calorie diet to lose weight. Is this something I can do? You know, 4,800 calories, doesn't that sound like a lot? But, yeah, here, consumes 4,800 calories a day in a diet designed to lose weight.
Well, I mean, it all depends on your level of activity.
So, he eats 9 meals a day. I got to tell you, Dan, I don't even know if I could eat 9 meals a day. All right, that's asking a lot. So, are you saying I'm not active? Is that what you were implying there earlier?
So, I mean, it's your guy, how active he is.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. Let's see. No junk food, no gluten, and no dairy are included in this. He's actually dropped from 225 to 214 as of right now. So he has 10% body fat, which is probably pretty good for a quarterback. I'm interested in this. I wanted to see what some of his meals are. Dan, here you go. I know you do quite a bit of this, I believe. He has a pre-breakfast snack of almond butter and jam. Then he's got 6 whole eggs, a chicken breast, 2 cups of oatmeal. Then dinner, he has fish or steak with vegetables or salad, followed by a snack of fruit, a tablespoon of molasses, or a mixture of shredded wheat, applesauce, almond butter. Have you ever eaten any of this?
Sometimes.
Yeah, he has 2 separate lunches as well, because, you know, obviously he's got to get the 9 meals. So yeah, that's what Russell's doing. 4,800 calories, and he's losing weight. So good luck if you want to try this. Let us know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. So we'll have to see how that works out. So, would you be willing to try this diet, Dan? 4,800 calories a day?
Well, you have to have the other part. You can't afford it.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's always the difficult part when you do any of these things. But, you know, I mean, the stuff he was eating seemed kind of, you know, relatively normal. You know, it didn't seem like it was any, you know, too, anything too extreme. Obviously, it's a lot of food you would be consuming. So, you know, you'd have to be able to pay for it that way. But, yeah, it didn't seem, you know, I mean, there's not a, you know, he didn't list a bunch of organic stuff where you'd have to go to, you know, one of the more expensive organic markets and stuff like that to pick it up. So, you know, I don't, you know, I mean, with my schedule, I just don't think I'd have time to eat 9 times. I'd have to get up from one of my naps to eat, and that probably wouldn't be very good, would it?
You know, you only sleep like 4 hours at a time, so I think it'll work out pretty well for you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, the story just kept popping up. And I don't know, I thought maybe it was just a slow news day or, you know, something to that effect. And I was kind of like, okay, well, I, you know, and I knew you had experience with it. I'm clueless on dieting or anything, so... You know, as people who know me will tell you. So.
Well, I mean, we did forget to talk about the Knicks finally getting smart and letting go of Phil Jackson.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm starting to wonder, though, you know, depending on who they hire. Because apparently the owner is actually considering bringing back Isaiah Thomas. I don't know what, you know, I think I'm going to reserve judgment to see who he hires before I call it a smart move or not, but it was definitely the right thing to let Phil go. You know, Phil had pretty much zero interest in that job, I think. So... But not, you know, I guess it is kind of interesting. Do you think Phil's failure was, you know, and I guess the best way to put this would be, was it age-based and the game just kind of got away from him? Because, you know, he really wanted the Knicks to run the triangle. That really doesn't fit in with today's game. You know, while the triangle was a good offense for obviously the Bulls and the Lakers, and he won a lot of championships with it, it didn't develop a lot of three-pointers, which is the name of the game today. Do you think maybe that was his downfall? Was he just couldn't keep up?
Well, I mean, the fact that he wasn't the coach. But I think he was trying to make that kind of game. He was out there coaching it, as opposed to just, you know, telling guys, you know, telling another guy what to do and how to do it, to tell everyone else how to do it.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, I mean, obviously I understand why he didn't want to coach. I mean, the man is 71 years old. That's quite a grind to ask him to do, but yeah, I would assume, you know, obviously I'm sure he hired a guy in Jeff Hornacek that he thought could run it. And I know he was trying to bring in the correct personnel, but it just seemed he was, I guess, behind the times would be the way to kind of look at it.
Pretty much.
You know, because I know he did come out in his final statement and mention, you know, he called the NBA a players' league, which of course it truly is. I mean, the players run the league. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, you know, no matter what you think, I mean, LeBron James is the Cavaliers' general manager. You know, they don't even have one now. He's the general manager. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. But yeah, it just kind of, you know, obviously, I mean, Phil has a special place here. He won all those titles with the Bulls. But yeah, he was terrible is the only way to describe him as a team president, right? I mean, you got another bad word?
entirely terrible. Completely terrible.
Well, here's a comparison. In his 20 seasons as a head coach, he went to the playoffs all 20 years, and he had a better than 70% winning percentage. As his 3+ years with the Knicks as an executive, they didn't go to the playoffs as well at all, and they won 34.5% of their games. But, I guess the big question now is, if you're the guy coming in, Dan, what do you do to mend fences with Melo, or do you still look to maybe try to move him?
Maybe try to mend fences to see what he wants to do.
You look at the roster. You look at the Knicks roster, and you have Melo, who is still a quality NBA player, and Porzingis appears to be a star on the rise. I don't know much about this guy they drafted. They drafted a point guard from France, so I don't know too much about him, but. Other than that, there's not a ton on this roster. You're still locked in with Joakim Noah for 3 more seasons, I believe. Are you interested in bringing Derrick Rose back if you're a Knick?
I'm not, but apparently they are.
Well, that was Phil who was apparently interested in bringing him back. I don't know if the general manager or whoever comes in will be as interested. Of course, it'll still be interesting to see if the Timberwolves are as hot on him as apparently they're being reported. But yeah, looking at the team, I'm not sure, Dan, who you consider NBA talent. I know they have Courtney Lee, but I don't know if he's an answer to anything. I know their rookie center made the all-rookie team that, God, I'm going to butcher his name. Let's see if I can get it to come up here for me. Was it, help me out, Dan. What's that center's name?
I think it's...
No, the other guy. Herman Gomez or something like that? I'll have to hunt it down here while we're Willie Herman Gomez or something like that. I remember seeing it, but I'll have to see if I can find it. But yeah, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of help. So
Willie Hernandez.
It's not Hernandez, but it does start like that. There's a little more to it than that. Here we go. Yeah, it actually is Hernan Gomez. I was pretty close. He made the all rookie team. So I don't know, how that helps them, but yeah, they have Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas under contract for 3 more years. I don't know if that's helpful. Just kind of looking at the roster here, we saw Joakim Noah play. He signed till 2020 as well. you know what, I don't know, you know, what's really, you know, I mean, if you're taking the floor with Carmelo Anthony, this Frank, whose last name I'll never be able to say because it's N-P-I-L-I or something like that. You know, if they've got Anthony, Kim, Porzingis with Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas, you know, is that a team you're really excited to see play?
Not really, but maybe they can make a run through the lottery.
So, you know, and I mean, you maybe they'll have a little salary cap room and they can bring a guy in. You know, I'm not sure. You know, how much, I'm not even sure if the cap has been announced yet. I know free agency starts Saturday, so I'm sure the teams will be, you know, will be ready to go. And I mean, obviously, you know, they're not going to get a, you know, Kevin Durant's not going to go run into New York. He'll probably re-sign with the Warriors. He said he wanted to do that. But I don't know if they have the money to bring in, you know, like Blake Griffin is another big name out there. But I don't know, you know, is there enough money in New York to bring a guy like that in?
There's enough for Rose.
Yeah, you know, you would think he would take a, you know, a little less. Let me see if I can find them here. I'm on our site here. And actually, believe it or not, as of right now, the Knicks are technically over the salary cap. So anybody they would add, they would have to pay a luxury tax for. I can't see why Dolan wouldn't do that. You know, the Cavaliers are also over the luxury tax because LeBron spent all of Vancouver's money signing his friends. So, but yeah, it just, you know, more and more I look at it, Dan, I mean, the Knicks look like they're going to be a tough fix for whoever takes that job. I mean, I know the GM stayed, but from everything I've kind of read, he's not considered formidable as a general manager. I don't know if he'll be able to convince free agents to come in and, you know, sign there. I know right away, you know, the first name they reached out to was John Calipari, like every team does when they have an opening. I would be shocked to see him leaving Kentucky. So, I don't know. I mean, how long do you think before we see the Knicks maybe get back to the playoffs? Are they 5, 6, 7, 10 years out, or what do you think? Yeah, I mean, you know, do they get in before Carmelo's deal expires? I don't remember exactly when that is, but do they get back before he hits the free agent market? So we're looking at, well, you know, it'll be 17, 18, and then 18, 19, at least 3 years before, you know, those contracts go away. You know, and then they've got to obviously have everything set up. So, yeah, it looks like, God, if you're a Knicks fan, I feel sorry for you. That team is just going to be, ugh. So, and then I don't know, Dan, did you see the Jimmy Butler press conference in Minnesota?
No.
they were talking, of course, you know, since he left Chicago, everybody badmouthed him, yeah, even though it wasn't his choice. So he actually gave out his cell phone number at the press conference and said if anybody had any interest, they could call him and he would talk to him. And apparently he actually did FaceTime with a Bulls fan. So I don't know. I'm disappointed that I didn't write down the number so you and I could call him. and see if he'd want to come on Sports Time Radio with us. So, you know, I'm sure I can probably find the – I'm sure the press conference is probably on YouTube or something. But he had a 773 number, so it was local to us here in Chicago, you know, in the Illinois area. But I thought it was funny, pretty funny that he just threw his number out there. I don't think I remember athletes doing that before. Do you remember another guy giving out his actual cell phone number at a press conference? Yeah, I was trying to think, you know, and I know obviously, you know, guys have played jokes on their teammates and stuff and, you know, had them on signs and, you know, goofy things like that. But I can't, yeah, I don't remember a player actually going, you know, going out and being like, yeah, hey, here's my number. Call me if you want to. You know, we can talk about it. I would just assume his phone would ring constantly, wouldn't it? Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want to call Jimmy Butler every chance you had?
I think a lot of people wouldn't even know his name, so they wouldn't call him.
No, they would probably just freak out, and it would be, you know, a lot of, and then they'd hang up. So that's probably what I would be if we called him. So. So, yeah, and then, you know, I don't know, did I get the chance to ask you about the Chris Paul trade with Houston? You know, he went from the Clippers to Houston. I don't know if you saw this. It came out today that apparently Paul was unhappy with the Clippers because he feels that Doc Rivers was favoring his son. So that was part of the reason Paul actually wanted to leave. But you know, I think we did talk about it a little, but do you believe that they're a contender now with Paul and Harden and the rest of that? You know, because they are a three-point shooting group there in Houston. They really fit. I think they took more than anybody else in the league, so they fit the new style. Do you think they compete now?
I think it's a lot better for Houston.
So, you know, because obviously everybody's trying to match Golden State. You know, that's what everybody's looking for. Do you, you know, I mean, do you feel as is this gives them an opportunity, or maybe do they need an ad? You know, do they need maybe one more?
No, I think it gives them an opportunity. I think it's just a matter of, you know, the second team, the guys coming off the bench.
Yeah, well, because they gave up a lot of those guys in that trade, so they're gonna need to find some depth. You know, and like I heard some people saying that they were afraid that it hurt James Harden because, you know, Harden had the ball in his hands a lot last year. But I know towards the end of the year, you know, their coach, Mike D'Antoni, was talking about how Harden was tired. You know, I would think with Paul there being able to handle the ball and take some of that responsibility off him, it would be better for Harden, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, I think overall, just they added a guy to make the team that much better.
Well, you know, it's weird. You know, I mean, it's odd that, you know, you add Chris Paul and people actually wonder if your team is going to get better. And it's kind of like, well, wait, it's Chris Paul. You know, I mean, that's just kind of, you would think naturally you add a guy like that and, you know, your team would naturally improve. But, you know, again, they did give up quite a bit to get him. And I'm actually disappointed. I went to check the transaction wire on the wonderful Mickey Mouse website since I was here, and they actually don't have the trade listed, even though obviously it was one of the biggest deals. So I don't get it. But why do they hate me, Dan? I don't know what that is. So I'll have to Bing it and see if we can see what they can get or what they got in return is what I was interested in, because I don't know, because the Clippers are obviously going to have to figure out what to do with Blake Griffin. I know he's already meeting with other teams, so. But yeah, they sent Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, and a 2018 draft pick to the Clippers. You know, Patrick Beverley was considered one of the better defensive point guards, while Chris Paul is obviously a top point guard, not known for his defense. Decker wasn't finding much playing time with the Rockets, so that won't hurt. But, you know, obviously you're giving up the draft pick, being that it's Houston, you know, it's probably in the 20s or so, that might not be that big a deal. So, you know, it looks like, you know, pretty good deal for the Rockets.
I mean, yeah, Chris Paul.
You know, yeah. Well, you know, now does this signify the end of everybody wondering if the Clippers are ever going to do anything?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they were really, I mean, I remember it's been probably within the last 5 or maybe even 6 years, maybe since they drafted Blake Griffin, that everybody was just waiting for this team to do something. And, you know, they said, you know, you need the big three. Well, they had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. Jamal Crawford has been great for them off the bench, even though I believe he's probably old enough to play in that that big three league. You know, he was fantastic for them. You know, now Paul is gone. Griffin's a free agent. He was set to meet with the Phoenix Suns today. And I'm trying to remember, I heard another team he was going to meet with. And I thought it was in the East, but it wasn't Boston. I'm just drawing a blank on it. So, you know, if he leaves, you know, the Cavaliers or the Clippers are really left holding the bag, aren't they? I mean, they're almost better off rebuilding if you lose Paul and Griffin, right?
Well, maybe it's the Doc Rivers' way of being able to put together the team.
Yeah, well, he is the coach and general manager. So, you know, he could, you know, he could definitely do that. So, you know, we'll have to see. You know, I know the other hot name free agency-wise is Gordon Hayward. You know, the Celtics are all over him. They think they're the front runners to get it, but apparently Miami wants to talk to him. And there are a few other teams lining up interested in talking to Gordon Hayward. I actually heard somebody say today that they think he may get a deal worth $40 million a year. And all I kept thinking is, good Lord, this is Gordon Hayward. But, yeah, I guess that's the way the NBA goes now, right?
Well, the Jeff guy agree.
So, you know, I was just kind of like, wait, they – oh, and I also forgot in that Rockets trade, the Clippers got Lou Williams as well. I forgot to mention that. I thought I was missing a name, but I just couldn't remember what the hell it was. So, yeah, I don't know. Are we going to see the Bulls sign anybody, Dan? I guess that's what I really want to know while we're here. You know, are they going to make any moves? Are they going to give me a reason to watch them this year? You know, I tried last year, Dan, you know, writing the recaps for the game, see if it would make me more interested. It didn't work. They brought Dwayne Wade home. I didn't care. Is there something they can do this year to make me want to watch?
Been short of trading for LeBron?
Yeah. Well, sadly, that wouldn't make me watch. I'm not a huge LeBron fan. You know, I did like Jimmy Butler. You know, so I was sad to see him go, but I understand the move. You know, I'm okay there. I get, you know, you have to do these things. You know, I probably will figure out how to, you know, you'll have to teach me how to stream Timberwolves games or something. So, But yeah, like, you know, just what can they do, Dan? There's got to be something you have in mind.
They're not doing anything because I think they made the money they wanted to make. And now they get to kind of tank it next year to get a better draft pick position.
Yeah, I'm sure that's, you know, for them, that's probably fun stuff. You know, I don't know. It's just, I'm trying. I really am. I guess, you know, it's the NBA, I guess, is all, you know, all it is, right? I mean, that's how it is. And if you like, you know, you like three-point shooting and dunking, you know, you would be okay. So, all right, well, what is on your viewing schedule tonight? You got something you're looking forward to watching, or what else you got going on? You know, obviously the Cubs are done, so.
Oh, I'm still waiting to get home.
Well, you may not get home, you know. You may be stuck on wherever you are. Did the bus ever show up at least?
Yeah, we're on it. So I mean, so a little bit of ways away.
You know, just the luck you have. And oddly, I don't know if you were keeping up. Cubs did come back to win. They ended up winning 5-4. You know, they managed to have another one, and it was your guy John Jay who got the big game winning hit.
Yay!
So, yeah, they end up splitting with the Nationals. And Dan was also right yesterday. He had Strasburg getting over 10 Ks, and I think he racked up 12 or 13. So Dan was all over that. But, yeah, the Cubs find a way to split the series. Little surprising. It looks like, you know, good thing the Nationals bullpen is terrible. Well, all right, it's time for Dan and I to roll out of here. But we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do this all again. You know the deal while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Catch up on the blog that went up yesterday morning. Follow the link to the Facebook page and give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. We don't mind. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can find this podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.